2. Robert Young versus New York Central. The Proxeteers storm the Vanderbilt line. This sorry state of New York Central affairs, in our opinion, is basically due to the fact that its present board together owned, according to last year's proxy statement, only 13,750 shares of stock, or less than 0.25%. Robert Young, 1954. In 1938, Robert R. Young, a hard-charging Texan who often railed against Wall Street's goddamn bankers, found himself in a bitter fight for control of the Chesapeake and Ohio Railway. His opponent was Guaranty Trust, a goddamn banker who was the trustee of $80 million of debt secured by Young's C&O stock. When Guaranty declared that the value of Young's collateral had fallen below its required level, the bank moved to impound the stock and use its voting power to remove Young from the C&O board. Young had only been in control of the C&O for 1 year, but in that short period, he had alienated the railroad community and its primary lenders. He was convinced that Guaranty Trust was conspiring with another goddamn banker, J.P. Morgan, to push him out of the industry. Several weeks before the C&O stockholders' meeting, a federal court issued an order temporarily restraining both Guaranty Trust and Young from voting the contested shares. When it became clear that the order would remain in effect through the date of the meeting, both sides were forced to campaign for proxies of the C&O's other shareholders. Guaranty and Young had expected a legal fight over voting control of one block of shares. Instead, they had to compete for the loyalties of 60,000 smaller C&O holders. Young fought his bankers masterfully in his first-ever proxy fight. His populist charm won over the news media as he appealed to the public's lingering resentment of Wall Street banks. As part of his strategy, Young publicly released a series of vicious letters to Guaranty Trust. These open letters, addressed to Young's opponents, but written to influence the C&O's smaller shareholders, became a powerful weapon in the campaign. Young won proxies for 41% of the C&O's common stock. This represented more than 70% of the shares.